Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where I explore the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel seen. Please rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe, and all of the things. I'm your host, Sequoia, and today, joining me to chat about Love is Blind Season 6, we have co-hosts of the podcast, Two Black Girls, One Rose, Natasha Scott and Justine K. Hi, guys. Thank you for joining.
Thanks hey, Sequoia. Thanks for having us.
Yes. Of course. This is like a long time coming. I'm very excited we're finally able to do this. It's going to be a very fun one. I just watched the reunion. Or not the reunion. I just watched the finale right now. 5 minutes before. I finished it. I didn't realize it was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I had allotted for an hour. I was like, damn, an hour and a half is kind of wild. But
I think so, too, for the amount of the content that they had. An hour and a half is a stretch.
And just FYI, y'all, it's going to be spoilers. So, come back and listen to it after you watched if you don't want the spoilers just yet. There are some people who just don't care about spoilers. I've never been that person. I very much care about spoilers.
Same. We are a spoil-free podcast.
Spoil-free,
so I'd make that very known.
But this is spoilers, y'all. So come back and watch it after you watch it if you ready. Okay, how did y'all feel about the season overall in comparison to previous seasons?
I loved the season, definitely compared to last season. Last season was a travesty of the franchise. It was just so bad, so boring. It's just so many things I kind of try to block. I honestly can't even remember who I like see their faces, but I can't. Milton,
like, that's the one.
Milton
and Lydia.
Yes.
And Uche.
Storylines.
Sequoia, please. Oh my God.
Horrid. Yeah, so, compared to that, this season's been great. I love the variety of couples we've gotten. It's given us a lot to discuss during our recaps this season. I think Love is Blind is tricky because they started out the gate so strong. Season one is still their best season, I think. I think season four comes right up there. And season six, definitely, I think this is a really good season. It's in the pack for sure. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it too. I think, echoing everything Natasha is saying, but I also love how the Black couple is the most emotionally vulnerable this season. This is a real treat for us as Black viewers to see all of these Black families from all parts of the diaspora interact and talk about emotions, talk about generational trauma, and really open up in a way that the other couples are not. And the fact that they feel safe to do so is actually really nice. I'm really enjoying it, especially for the nature of our podcast and what we do.
That is super fair. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't really think about it like that, but that definitely checks. I felt like this season was, to be honest, I felt like it was a little bit more boring than previous seasons. I feel like we've
boring,
been,
really?
Yeah, I feel like we've been like falling off of a cliff. Like we really did start high, and it's just been like a very steady decline season after season. I personally felt like last season was very okay. I guess it depends on what you're looking for. I'm always looking for maximum drama levels, and last season did it for me. Because there was a lot of drama last season. We had the Milton and the Lydia and the Uche situation. And all that just fed into my reality TV loving spirit, you know? And that's ultimately what I'm watching for. This season, I did end up getting into it, but I would say it was like a slow start. It felt like the first, maybe the first six episodes, I was like, okay, I'm bored. Like,
really?
I was like, when are we going to get
different? Yes, so different.
What's your favorite season? Do you have a favorite season?
You know, I wish I could tell you the seasons off the top of my head, but I really don't remember the seasons like that. I liked the season with Jackie and...
That's season four.
Because that one had the... that one had the juice.
So much happening.
You know, so much happening. Really good. I really liked that season. And then the Vanessa and Nick of it all, people being like, what the fuck is wrong with them? Like, I hate that. That was also entertaining for me. I was thoroughly entertained by that season.
That was a good one. And then, it gave us Brett and Tiffany.
Yeah.
you know, we needed that. We
love
that.
Yeah. And we love, that's the ideal couple. Of course, that's the favorite couple of all the couples thus far for me. So. Question for this season. Do y'all think Chelsea looks like Megan Fox?
Oh my gosh. No. 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 She's cute though. No. She's a cute girl, but she don't look like no damn Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. I don't know why she set herself up like that. Still to this day, that was such a bizarre move. And it's not, what makes it bizarre too is like, it wasn't Jimmy asking her.
That.
Like,
right.
Look like that. She put it out there. That's what made it even more bizarre.
Yes.
Oh God. I think maybe if she had darker hair, because Megan Fox has like black hair, right? Black or super,
she does
dark,
have really
brown.
Dark hair.
If Chelsea's hair was darker, it would maybe make her eyes stand out a little bit more. But
wow, he really engineering Natasha. I just, I mean, they just look different. They just look different. And the fact that she tried to cheat the game through this is also wild.
Mm. Like,
she tried to really make love see and not be blind through this way. And I, we're like, girl, oh my God.
And we see how that worked out.
And we see how it worked out terribly.
Yeah. Oh God.
There's that. Okay. Do we have unpopular opinions from the season? I'm going to start with one just because it's relevant. I do think that girl looks like Megan Fox.
Okay.
Explain this to me.
Okay.
I need the
girl.
The chart.
Now, I think what's fucking people up is that, and I don't mean to say this in like a misogynistic way or something. She's not as hot as Megan Fox, but again,
engineered as hot, right?
You know, exactly.
Together as hot.
Who among us is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
girl, you in LA, neither. You know who is, what you mean?
Who?
You in LA, you know who is, okay?
Well, that's very fair. That's
all
very
that,
fair.
Yeah. Everybody is people. Is more. Yeah.
It is people. It is people. Yes. Mm. So I feel like she's just not as hot as Megan Fox, but that she does resemble Megan Fox. Sometimes when she turns to the side, particularly her side profile, I'm like, that's really fucking close. That is a close side profile. But see, I'm not convincing y'all. See, look, if y'all can see Natasha and Justine's faces right now.
I see your point with her not being as hot or you know, if guys were thinking like sexiest woman in Hollywood, a lot of them would probably say Megan Fox. She kind of just has that like engineered, like for the male gaze vibe and look.
Yes.
So maybe if Chelsea, as I said, if she had darker hair, I think her eyes would stand out a little bit more. And if she like dressed up as Megan Fox for Halloween, like she'd probably like crush it. You know what I mean? Like if she put on a specific Megan Fox like iconic outfit, we would see it more. So I see what you're saying.
Okay. Kind of. Okay, I'll take it. I'll take what I can get with that. Do y'all have any unpopular opinions? I have a couple others, but I want to hear y'all before I get to the rest of it.
I've been Team Jimmy since the pods.
Okay.
I don't know if I stand alone there.
I'm not mad at you.
There's people who definitely, me and Justine for sure, split on this. My empathy for Chelsea just dwindled with each passing episode. And Jimmy, I've always kind of just thought he was a very simple, solid guy. I think, I'm a firm believer. I don't think single parents should be in this process. I think he kind of got the ultimate setup from Jump Street, which is he fell for the single mom. And so he had, to, you know, he's part of a love triangle and, you know, no matter how well you try to play out a love triangle, you're always going to somehow be villainized in a way. So I think from that moment on, he just got a bad rap. And then Chelsea's been very exhausting. And I think he's kind of met her at every turn. He surprised me. I thought Jimmy was going to be a lot worse, particularly coming out of the pod, seeing she didn't look like Megan Fox. And we've seen guys treat girls like crap when they're not attracted to them, you know, on this show.
Yeah. Yep.
So he kind of met her where she was at and met me, you know, exceeded my expectations with how he was treating her. And I've been kind of riding for him since the pods where I was like, I feel like something, he's not getting a fair shot here. So that's my unpopular opinion.
I'm not mad at that one.
A good one. Yeah. A good one. A fair one for sure. I have said this for a while, probably since they got out of the pods. Chelsea and Clay are very similar to me. Ooh. And we treat Clay differently because he's a man and because of the way that he expresses his insecurities.
Ooh, hold on. Let's dig into that. Okay. Yes,
you want to?
Hold on. I'm trying to think of some. Okay, because I don't disagree. I didn't see it. I would never have come to that myself. Mm-hmm. But if you place it in front of me, I'm willing to entertain it. So let's think about how we arrive here.
Yeah, I think Chelsea is really outward about her insecurities, and she cries a lot, and she lashes out a lot, and she is like very anxious all the time, and she doesn't really have a name for it, so she blames her partner for it, and a lot of that I can see being taken really, really unfairly by a viewer, and also just like really detrimentally by her partner, because her partner's getting blamed for her insecurity and her anxiety. I think that Clay is projecting all of his anxiety onto his partner. I think that he's being very honest about it in a way, and he's not crying. He's not lashing out at her. He's not like angry at her in the same way that Chelsea is, but he is still projecting all of his insecurities onto his partner. He is still, I would say, unfairly giving his partner a lot of the responsibility of what a therapist should be doing. And I think he's very insecure about his role as, even as of now, her fiance slash like almost boyfriend and then future husband. He's really insecure about it in a way that I think the same for Chelsea. She's just insecure in the same way.
Wow, that makes so much sense.
I feel like they both have past traumas and past experiences that are manifesting so clearly in this current relationship, and they're putting a lot of that on their partner. I think Chelsea's delivery is terrible, particularly because she blames Jimmy a lot in a way that Clay doesn't. Clay just kind of like dumps his mess onto AD and kind of like runs away, and then she has to deal with it. So very similar things, just their delivery is different. I think they're both very insecure people that brought in a lot of that into this relationship and expecting their partners to really help them with their healing process, or I'm not really sure what Chelsea needs from Jimmy. And I think they're both similar in that they probably shouldn't have been on this show. Like, neither one of them are ready for a marriage, but we're here, so.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I definitely get that as well. Wow. That is enlightening. Those are really good observations. Okay, y'all, come on with the analysis. We love to see it. I have a couple myself.
We do.
Yeah, I was like, we does this.
Yep. I see. Okay, I have two myself that I want to get onto, and then we'll go couple by couple and chat about each of these people.
Okay.
Nice. I feel like AD, this I think is actually an unpopular opinion. Uh-oh, Justine's eyes are darting back and forth.
I love AD. I'm nervous.
I also really like AD. Let's start there. I really like AD. I feel like AD was too hard on Sarah Ann.
Okay. Say more.
It flew out. I'm sorry, Sequoia. Okay.
Okay. I feel like AD was too hard on Sarah Ann because, okay. Let me really try to flesh this out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're in a circumstance where, I would like to start by saying Sarah Ann was wrong. I think Sarah Ann was pretty objectively in the wrong. That said, I understand how Sarah Ann got to where she got. We've known this man the same amount of time. One, it's not like, y'all have some deep history that I also don't have with this man. If we, and I'll be damned if I'm ever a man's fucking choice. Let's start there. But if we are his one and two choice, and he doesn't know what either of us look like, and I know for a fucking fact that I think I'm cuter than you, and that might sway the decision he may have made, should he have known that little tidbit of information, maybe I'll shoot my shot. I don't know. I don't feel beholden. I don't know that Sarah Ann necessarily needed to have felt beholden. I really think all of that should have lived with Jeremy. All of the issue should have lived with Jeremy. Is that the boy? That's the correct boy, right? All the issues should have lived with Jeremy and not necessarily Sarah Ann. And I think Laura had every right to fucking hate Sarah Ann. You were going to talk to my man, who you know is my man, and I know you person to person. You're a piece of shit. Where does AD get into it? I don't fucking know. And I felt like AD was gaslighting Sarah Ann during the conversation. Sarah Ann kept being like, more or less, why do you care? Like, I really liked you. Like, why do you care so much, AD? And AD was like, I don't care. You're not fucking my man. Clearly you care, babe. You're over here grilling the fuck out of her. That made me, it was just a little bit too holier than thou for my personal taste. It's like, AD, I better not be able to dig and find a goddamn thing. I better not be, and I know for this show, you can always dig and find some shit. So I better not be able to dig and find a goddamn thing the way that you attacked this woman who had nothing to do with you. If anybody was going to attack her, it needed to have been Laura. That didn't have anything to do with you. So I didn't love that scene, didn't appreciate it. Made me look at AD a little bit differently than I have been looking at her before that. And I'm aware that that is a very unpopular opinion. But
I feel like AD, she was looking out for Laura. Laura's not going to sit with Sarah Ann. And I think it's even bizarre that Sarah Ann showed up. Like, that's very bold. Show your face. You were fully going after this woman's fiance that was freshly broke up. That's really bold. And Laura's not going there. She's just like, fuck that chick. So AD took it upon herself as her friend. It might be a little messy, might be a little petty, might be totally out of her realm. Like, maybe not her place at all. But I feel like that's what she, in her mind, was doing. And I feel like with Sarah Ann, like, if you're going to show up to this party, you're going to have to take the heat. Like, you're going to have to, somebody's going to, if it wasn't Laura, then you can expect one of her friends or somebody, or the women are going to be whispering. Yeah. So you can't be boo-hoo-hoo crying about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Look at what you came into the lion's den. So be prepared.
She did play victim.
That's my thought.
In a way it was very white woman tears. I don't even know if Sarah Ann is white, but that gave very white woman tears. And I was like, here she go fucking crying. Like, she not the aggressor in the situation.
You showed up to the pool party. So it is what it is, girl.
I would have loved to see a confrontation between Jessica and Sarah Ann, because I think Jessica too had the right to, if we're going by that logic, reach out to Jimmy.
I agree.
She literally said, you're going to need your EpiPen. Let's meet up. You got you equipped? You ready? You got the EMTs ready? Let's go out. Let's see. Let's talk. So I would have loved for them to have that same conversation to see how that went, because Jessica was in the same position as her.
Fair. And took the respectful route.
Okay, well, that was my number one unpopular opinion. And so then my second unpopular opinion, and this one I'm finding, I'm shocked that this is unpopular. I went to go scroll, do my little TikTok scrolls, and I'm like, damn, y'all really don't agree with me. That's kind of nuts. Okay. Oh. I feel like between Brittany and Kenneth, Brittany was the red flag. Because there was this moment where Brittany and Kenneth are talking about, like, raising black kids or whatever, after AD has talked to Kenneth about Brittany's ability to raise black kids. They're talking about it, and Kenneth says, as an aside, and they never really pick this back up, he says, because you're used to dating black men, right? And she says, yeah. To me, I said, that gave me a little bit of pause. I said, okay, Brittany, you being used to dating black men, it's a little bit weird to me. It's always weird to me when people outside of a racial group have a preference for people in one other specific racial group. So I'm like, that does tell me something about your ability, about what you think of black people and your ability to raise black children. That does tell me something. So that was enough of a red flag for me to give Kenneth a pass in however he decided to behave afterwards, because it seems as though he was finding that information out kind of new. Like, it wasn't something that he had known for a long time, because he mentioned it right then. He was like, yeah, you said you're used to dating black men? And she said, yeah. So, like, it wouldn't be a big deal. And I was like, say less. Enough said. So, yes. That's my other one.
Yeah, I see your point in that, for sure. It gave a little bit of fetishization, right? A little bit. And her, to me, when she says identifies as Black, that also really confused me.
What are you talking about?
Her wanting to be so PC all the time from somebody who dated non-white people so apparently so often in the past. She's only 24 and she's also very Christian, so I don't know how much 24? Like
mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's mm-hmm. only 24. They're only 24 and 25, so
he's 25. You
know, oh, he's 25. Girl, young.
Both of them.
I know that middle schoolers would drive you nuts, though. If I was a middle school principal, I'd look like I was 75 years old.
That's fair. That's fair.
But I see what you're saying. They identifies as for me. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I feel like I always wonder, like, what's the line between a fetish and you're just attracted to that? Because if I think of my own, like, I have a good friend, he's white, current girlfriend is Black, previous girlfriend was Black, previous girlfriends before that, I believe were white. He doesn't, to me, I don't get fetish. I just get, he dated one Black girl, he was really into her. And something about Black women now he's attracted to. And so his next girlfriend is Black. So that's always my question is like, what is the line between, what is allowed? Because you could also just have a more inclination, more physical attractive preference for a certain race. But what makes it a fetish versus not? So I didn't hold her too much to that. Yeah, that was my thought on that.
I will also say just my last little, I have a lot of unpopular opinions, y'all. Like, this is like a real thing. My last little tidbit kind of related to what you just said. I feel like there is a difference between white women who almost exclusively date Black men versus the other way around, whether it's white men who almost exclusively date Black women or Black women who also almost exclusively date white men. I feel like there's a difference amongst all three of those things.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it at that for now because we have other things to get through. But I was looking at Brittany a little sideways. That's what I was saying. After that, from that point forward. And the identifies as thing was weird as shit. You don't identify as Black. You are. You
just are. Everybody.
You're Black. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's it. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Okay. Let's go couple by couple and dissect them that way. Y'all ready?
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll start with the most bland. Amy and John.
Oh,
so boring, so precious, but so boring.
Cute.
Adorable.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Girl. I mean, they gave us the vasectomy conversation. That was interesting. I mean, we had a whole discussion about that on our podcast. I just had never seen that conversation before. I myself was Googling, like, what's a vasectomy again? It's reversible, right? Like, we're never thinking of vasectomies as a birth control option. So I don't think it really is, but Amy put it out there on the table and she gave us something to talk about and gave people something to write about and kind of like research again. So that's the best we got out of this couple. But otherwise, they're cute and that's about it.
Yep. I would agree. Only birth control was their only contribution, which is a big one. It's always interesting to talk, especially these days, to talk about birth control, who's on it, who's not, for what reasons, whatever. But that was it.
Certainly not nothing, I will say. And obviously, Amy feels correct to me. It's like, I don't want to be on birth control. So if you don't want to wear condoms for whatever reason, I don't know what the hell your problem is, but if you don't want to wear them.
I still don't know what that's about.
Yeah, they didn't dive into that. I'm like inclined to believe maybe somebody has a latex allergy or something because I'm like, why are y'all not?
Oh, maybe.
Like, why are y'all not talking about this?
Johnny seemed like terrified of having kids. It came up several times, like, like this fear. So I think for him, he has some complex with condoms. Maybe he had a pregnancy scare when he was younger or something with a girl and they were using condoms. Yeah. But I think it was him. Like, he's like, I ain't got no time for no babies, no unplanned babies. So,
and that's fair. At the big spoiler, this is the only couple that gets married. So what I noticed at the end, though, was Amy was saying how she doesn't want to have kids right now. And I was under the impression that Johnny was saying he didn't want to have kids. Period. I don't know if I misinterpreted what he said.
I think he wants to be like really financially stable and ready. I remember the conversation with her dad when he was saying he wants to teach his kids to do snowboarding and skiing and all kinds of other elitist sports that he's not ready to even do himself. And he gave him advice. So I think he wants to have kids, but he just wants to be really ready.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like there was a scene earlier too where they Amy threw out like 5 years, like no kids.
Oh yeah, that's
like
right.
4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. I remember. Yeah. So.
And what are they also like 25?
Yeah, they're 27.
27, I think. Man, yeah, I got time.
What is 5 years? Yeah, you know, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Movie. Sure. Okay, so that's them, AD and Clay. What are our thoughts?
Man.
Oh. My favorite.
Where do we start?
They
were my favorites.
They give us a lot to talk about. They were very, as I said earlier, emotionally open and vulnerable, which I so appreciated because reality TV is just not forgiving. So I really appreciate them being as open as they were with their stories and with their parents and with their parents' stories.
Yeah.
That was very intense. What we all went through. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I think what happened should have happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely really glad that it did.
Yeah. Yeah, I would add, I think we were like 9 episodes in, and we both, Justine and I, were like, the verdict is still out on Clay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We still did not trust Clay. Mm-hmm. And I think we've kind of seen this before. Like, we're always, as Black women, we're just gonna side with AD no matter what, right? Unless she was really showing her ass. Like, I really liked AD, and so I just saw a life of strife and work and her needing to lead this man and me wondering, why is he even here? He's clearly not ready. And can I take anything he's saying for, you know, fact and truth? Or, you know, I was kind of just like parsing through and almost like, what can I believe of Clay? And then probably around, I think like episode 9 or 10, I really started to feel for Clay. And I really started to picture like young Clay, baby Clay, like on these fucking trips with his dad, going to meet women, then having to lie about it. And like, that shit is deep.
Mm-hmm.
That has him fucked up in the head. And now he's in a position now where he's trying to, you know, get married and wants these things. And all of this unresolved trauma and memories is plaguing him. So I really started to feel for him after a point. And I felt almost bad that I was like, so, you know, ugh, Clay, ugh, like he's lying. When really it's like, he's telling us everything we want to hear, or he's giving us his honesty, right? It's not exactly what we want to hear, but he's putting it all out there. I think where he was frustrating to me was he was kind of dumping, like doing a lot of trauma dumping, just dumping all his stuff onto AD, which isn't fair to her. Because again, I want ease for AD. I think she's a baddie. She's a badass. She's done her therapy. She's done her work. Like, I just didn't want that story for her. But yeah, I think by the end, I definitely predicted that Clay was going to say no at the altar. And I felt for AD because she came into this process ready for a marriage. This is a marriage show, right? Clay did not. Clay came, I think he revealed in episode like 8 or 9 that he wanted to see if he could fall in love. That was his first priority. So he kind of set her up because he wasn't ready for marriage and she came here ready for marriage. So it's not her fault that she's so attached to the outcome of wanting that wedding, you know, wanting that marriage. But, you know, we all know watching it like, AD, he ain't ready. Like, you don't want this, you know?
Yeah, and you don't want to be married to him. Exactly.
No, you don't want this.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, at different points, I felt for both of them, you know, and that's what made them a really interesting couple to watch.
Yeah.
And it being a Black couple, being this emotionally vulnerable, both of them had their parents on screen this season, we didn't see everybody's parents. We didn't really meet Chelsea's parents or anything, but Clay mm-hmm. and AD both brought their parents and gave us that very interesting scene in the finale of the parents talking. So yeah, I really enjoyed watching them, and I'm really curious to see the reunion, like what's mm-hmm. going on with them.
Some of my friends who know Clay and like running, there's really nothing shocking here. Just that he's a menace, and we know that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yes, just that he is historically a menace,
and
that's who he is.
Right,
and I get that. Yeah, I definitely get mm-hmm. that. Clay wasn't doing it for me initially. Mm-hmm. But Clay feels like one of those people that if I saw him in real life, I'd probably fold. I could see it for him, kind of, you know, from a distance. I could see it from, like, I see how you arrive here, probably. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mm-hmm. I also was very up in the air about him for a very long time. And he consistently grew on me. And I was like, okay, I kind of see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's vulnerable. He's honest. He keeps talking about this really traumatic thing that happened in his life. His dad taking him with him while he cheated on his mom is so traumatizing, so damaging, disgusting. And I'm glad his mom said something about it to his dad the finale. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you're a piece of shit. You have mm-hmm. severely damaged your son. He can't even trust himself because he thinks he's so much like you.
Yes. Yeah. Did you think it was interesting, Sequoia, too, how much Clay defended the fatherhood of his father? He was like, my dad's a great dad, but I was also on ride alongs to go see his girlfriend.
God. I feel like a lot of people do that.
A lot of people do that.
In order just to like feel okay about themselves and their experience and their childhood, they kind of have to separate who they, you know, they have to separate that. It's like, he was a bad partner, but a good dad, but a really good dad, I promise. He was a good dad. It's like, honestly, while I sometimes can see that separation in the event that you were taking your son to go cheat, I don't really know.
Why was that necessary? What is the situation? I have so many questions about these interactions.
You know, what was the circumstances? We would love to know, but okay, sure.
Yeah.
And I really like AD, and I really liked AD's mom. AD's mom was so funny.
She was a baddie
and
as
so
well.
So cute. Yeah. Yes. I was like, this is adorable. And of course, AD, the big baddie that she is, baddie supreme, had all the men shooketh when they seen what was going on.
I know, runs in the family too. Her whole family was looking like that too. I was like, okay.
Speaking of Chelsea and Jimmy, because Jimmy was the first one shooketh. When he saw AD, that woman is stacked.
Oh God!
But yes, as we've mentioned before, Chelsea wildly insecure, very insecure, and the point at which I knew that they weren't really gonna make it for real is when she brought up him having sex with his friend.
Yeah, with his friend.
Because that seemed, I saw that as a boundary that he had placed, and she walked right on over it.
Right over it.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, I don't know if that's one that she's going to be able to come back from, because he seems shocked and disappointed that she had the audacity to say that after he trusted her with that information and was forthcoming with that information even.
Yeah. Because when you tell, I mean, The whole thing is weird, because I feel for Chelsea too. Like, sure, you told me in confidence, whatever, but you fucked your friend that I met the other day. Like, what the heck? And I have to just get over it. Because he put her in a very, very precarious situation. And Chelsea's already so insecure. Like, we knew this was not going to go over well with her. But nonetheless, I feel like they're on a TV show. They're being followed by cameras for weeks. Like, you know, the moments that they get off camera, you have to hold those sacred, right? This is just for us. And she violated that by spilling this. And I agree. I feel like that was the beginning of the end for sure. Like, he really had to do some Jedi mind tricks to like forget that that happened to him. And he wasn't able to. And,
Yeah, I think it's why she said it too. She said it's like prove a point that also was lofty. right? You were with Jessica at the bar. I don't want this lifestyle. Like,
what's the issue that you're having? God. Please land on one, because you didn't just lay out three random things. That's why you said you're missing. Because
pick yes. one, girl. Choose one struggle. Yeah. Like five in that conversation. Oh my God. Yeah, Chelsea was pretty exhausting. I think where I just became done with her was definitely that conversation, but just questioning him, if he loves her, if he's ready for marriage, if he's ready. And I mean, the pot is called, was it the pot calling the kettle black? Mm-hmm. Are you ready for marriage, Chelsea? Mm-hmm. You have all these questions for this man. I think it's a hard no to the no. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like deflection and projecting is just exhausting and very annoying by episode 10, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think Chelsea was using this as an opportunity to prove her self-worth to herself, you know?
The show?
Yeah, she was using the show, like, will someone really marry me? Let's find out.
Yeah.
And she didn't, like you said, Natasha, she wasn't ready to get married. But she needed to know that someone else would be ready to marry her.
Mm.
And she didn't get what she was looking for, in my opinion, unfortunately. And I also don't want to leave Jimmy without fault, because Jimmy is not without fault.
Yeah.
Jimmy's over concerned with being the best couple, or like that weird competitive thing.
Yeah, it was odd.
Was strange to me. I was like, why do you keep having such a big issue with this? When Chelsea's saying like, oh, I think Amy and Johnny are the best couple here. Duh. Everybody would say that. Anybody with eyes would say that. Mm-hmm. Why is it upsetting you so thoroughly? Why? Or even before, when they first met, there was something else that he was competitive about. Oh, he went up to all the guys and he was like, I guarantee you I have the best relationship here. Mm-hmm. Who would say that? Mm-hmm. That's weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weirdly competitive. Yeah. I feel like he had Jimmy, not even deep down, like on the surface, he had a lot of doubts. Like, he knew this was some fuck shit. This is not the type of woman I thought I was choosing. Like, she's presenting way less confident than she seemed in the pods.
Yes.
And so I think maybe him continuing to put that out, particularly to Chelsea, is he's like, if I'm already on wobbly feet, I need you to be strong for us. But you also have, you also feel like we're not the strongest couple. Oh, then it's almost like validating how he was already feeling deep down, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she but it is coming off
wobbly
like,
feet. She bandied.
Yeah. She's bandied, exactly. So, yeah, it comes off weird and, like, competitive, but I think it was really, like, he needed some validation or somebody, particularly Chelsea, to be like, no, we're strong, we're good. And she didn't say that, so it was like,
mm-hmm. Because why lie?
Why lie?
Why lie? Yeah.
Y'all know what it is.
Like, we see it. We watch it. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Laura and Jerame.
Oh, Jerame.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, this one was a mess. God.
He was a mess from his first confessional, though.
What is
his first confessional? He was like, I just like joking around. You know, I don't take life too seriously. And that always makes me nervous. Always makes me nervous. When you go on a show where you're trying to commit to somebody in 30 days, you need to not laugh. This isn't a laughing matter. It's just this is serious.
That's
he
real.
Too was also very, very concerned with his perception in a very narcissistic way. He slept on a couch because Laura outed a joke that she said before, also about AD being objectified. AD being the Jezebel of the season also got on my last fucking nerve. You know, from the women and the men, that shit was crazy. Crazy how objectified she was. And also really interesting to see her reactions to everybody. She was so polite, so passive, and was so accustomed to this behavior. And so for Laura and Jerame, I think they were like two Japanese beta fish. They were just kind of looking at each other and fighting. They had the same like weird sense of humor, and they kept digging at each other. We said on our podcast, she reminded us a that this couple reminded us a lot of oh gosh, Shane and Natalie.
Oh my god, wow. From season two. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Natalie was always like, yeah, you ugly motherfucker. And he was like, what? She was joking. She was kidding. She liked him, but she was just joking.
Oh my god. Yeah, that little bickery humor that you know, we hate each other. Oh my god, you're so stupid. But like the line is so thin.
Oh, paper thin.
Paper thin.
Oh, yeah. Now I have another unpopular opinion here.
Okay. What?
Ooh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like I love your thought. The way you're
I know.
Look on your face. The words
I'm thinking. Like, how am I going to formulate this one? And I will say, I didn't watch that closely to every single detail. So maybe it was something I'm missing. But every time I looked up, Laura was a little bit too mean-spirited for my personal taste.
Definitely.
And I wasn't experiencing that from Jeremy up until he got psychotic. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Laura, like, please leave this man alone. You are so mean. Like, you are being way unnecessarily mean to him. That little dig about her being the one in the relationship with a degree, and so obviously he's stupid. I said, why would you say that?
I forgot about that.
Why would you say that? She didn't say, obviously he's stupid, but she was like, he like was trying to explain something, and she was like, okay, I'm going in the relationship with a degree.
Yes, you're right.
That's mean. That's mean. Explicitly mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, you can see him like try to defend himself a little bit. You see that hit him weird. And he was like, or the constant dig at his little Hawaiian shirts. Like, I'm like, if the worst thing about the man is that he wears Hawaiian shirts,
right.
I think you're all right. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't like Laura from the jump. Also, was Laura the same one that went and told Jess that she needed to leave the house?
She was.
And didn't say what the fuck was going on? Pissed me off. I didn't like Laura from the jump. In fact, yes, no, keep Laura. Don't like her. Didn't like her at all. That said,
Laura,
yes. Mm-hmm.
No, it's like she, from that Jessica moment, she was so excited to run over and tell Jessica that you're
so
done. Self-righteous. Chelsea got chosen.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you why. I'm going to withhold what I know, but just know you need to trust me and you need to leave. Babe, I don't know you. Why the fuck would I trust you? I don't know you.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You could be talking to my man, for all I know. Who are you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, didn't like Laura at all. Jeremy. Now, I think Jeremy started being like a petulant little child, and that's why he got to where he got to with the Sarah Ann situation, because he had taken enough from Laura. That said, what you do as an adult is you communicate and not go run and be ridiculous with the next bitch. But okay, sure. Didn't fuck with him, didn't fuck with her. Their whole thing needed to implode, and I'm happy that it did. Enough. And I hope that him and Sarah Ann go off and live their happy life.
Into the sun.
And I know that's not gonna go right either, because Jeremy is unwell. Yeah.
And so is she. Have you seen her on TikTok? She is.
I haven't. I have not.
Good for you. Don't look it up.
I'm not. I don't even have the interest, I have to say.
Mm-mm. Don't worry about it.
And then we have Kenneth and Brittany. That's the last couple that of course.
Yeah.
I thought what was weird for them, which is why I'm curious to see this reunion, they didn't really have a lot of interviews or confessionals.
Yeah.
That's why the scene where they like broke up was kind of abrupt.
Yeah.
And there was no context. And then we never saw them again in the future, the seasons or the episodes that followed. So for them, I just feel like there's so much unsaid. I don't there's so much questions I have. It was hard for me to have like a strong opinion about them, because I feel like I didn't really see much. And then what they showed us was Kenneth on his phone a lot. And then they've since now done interviews saying that it was edited to look like that. He wasn't really on his phone all that much. So now I don't even know what the hell was going on with that couple. I'm just curious if they're gonna be a reunion, if we'll get any other insight as to happened.
Yeah, I think because we had so little details, the theories about them are running so wild.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
Crazy. So people are really running some crazy conspiracy theories about both of them, and that's not fair to both of them. And I want them to have some fairness to their love story, because they fell in love and then they broke up,
and and we watched it all on international internet television. So we they deserve a fair shot at explaining what happened.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that as well. Okay, let's take another break. And when we come back, we're going to do some superlatives or senior mosts for the folks in the house.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Okay, superlatives. I'm going to list a couple and y'all just tell me who y'all would this title to.
Come on.
All right, let's do it.
Most likely to have a secret partner at home.
Oh my God, Trevor.
Trevor.
Hey, didn't he?
Yep, fully. Sure did. Full yeah. girlfriend. Yep. Uh-huh.
Wild.
I would say, you know what? I would say Jerame just for the silverware.
That too.
Just
for that
on about
gold silverware in that house. I was like, you know, no. There's a woman in here. Yeah.
There's a woman in here. And where is she? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Jerame. I can see Laura too. Something about Laura's energy.
That would be everything.
Yeah. Oh, she gives I think my brother said she gives like frat guy energy. Like she just has like
a
toughness to her, or just kind of like I guess more of a masculine energy too, maybe.
Mm-hmm. She does.
And
yeah.
I could see her having some dude on the side, like low-key.
Most likely to maintain some level of fame after the show.
Level of fame after this show. If Chelsea plays her cards right and gets somehow in touch with Megan Fox, she could do this. They could sell something. They could endorse something together.
That's real.
I think I really want it for AD, though. I really want AD to be like almost like Raven. Like I see Raven all the time in like advertisements and stuff like that for workout stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I really want that same thing for AD. That same fitness track.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I think they made her the body of the season, so she can work Instagram somehow and start selling some cute stuff. Also, yeah. I could see Jessica. Jessica looks like every girl on Instagram. She probably already has a million followers by today, if I haven't looked. So I could see her for sure being around and appearing on Perfect Match and them just doing stuff with her for a while.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Perfect Match. Certainly. Wow. Definitely going to be on the Perfect Match. Most likely to fade back into obscurity following the show.
Hopefully Jimmy.
Yeah.
I think I don't think Jimmy has any business on TV. He puts his foot in his mouth too much.
I know. That's why he makes good television, though. That's why they might try to keep him around.
Yeah, keep him. Yeah, that's true.
I could see him fading too, though, because when we met his family, that family was so small town, countryside. Yeah. Like, I could see him just finding somebody in his little community and we'd never see him again.
Certainly. That's what he's going to do for sure.
I think so. I also think Amy and Johnny, they are like the crown jewel couple this season, but they're so boring. And we didn't really get to know their personalities, which you kind of need going into post show life, you know? So,
yes.
I'll say.
Most BDE, which is big dick energy, any gender.
I think AD. I think she had the biggest dick on the season.
Period.
I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with AD as well. She's just consistent, I feel like. I loved her from the beginning. Obviously, I'm attracted to the black woman. Naturally, and she didn't disappoint me, even though, you know, she chose Clay. I wanted better for her, maybe, but it wasn't like really her choice in Clay. It was more so Clay not be able to show up. But I think she was very consistent with what she wanted. She made it very clear. You could tell she's done a lot of work on herself. Yeah. And yeah, she's like a boss bitch.
Mm-hmm.
There was no.
I liked
better.
Her walkout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I loved her walkout at that wedding. Of all seven of those black women following her, I was like, oh, yeah. Clay, you got to watch out for the rest of your life.
I'm telling you.
You got seven black women turn their back on you? Watch that's not, man. That's a terrible omen, sir. That is awful.
100%. Wait, also, I fully just didn't expect Clay to, spoiler y'all, I fully didn't expect Clay to say no.
Or like
to
not.
I didn't. By the time I had gotten to the altar, he had me so convinced. See, I would have fallen for the okie doke. My dumb ass would have fallen.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. By the time we got to the altar, I was like, oh, he's definitely going to say yes. Like,
wow. Really?
And I was like, he doesn't even seem like the type to like not be forthcoming with her up front if he didn't think he was going to say yes. You know, I was like, oh, he seems pretty forthcoming. Like, he'll say that.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. I'll be damned.
I think where I knew though, I think it was episode maybe 10 or 11, him and AD were talking in the kitchen. He kind of floated. He first floated the idea of saying no at the altar.
He did? Like,
yep.
Yeah, he was like, why do we have to be beholden to this timeline? And that's where AD said, you know, regardless of whether you say yes or no, like we can be good. I don't know if I can continue a relationship with you after a no at the altar. So him even floating that idea, I was like, oh, he gonna say no. Like, he's trying to see where she stands first and how she stands.
He said, that's good to know. Yeah, yeah. He said, that's good to know. When she said, oh, I don't think we would continue a relationship, he's like, okay, good to know. Huh? I remember hearing that and thinking, oh, that's kind of crazy. But, you know, he'd be saying stuff all the time that I'm like, what is this nigga talking about? Right. You know, I'm like, that's okay, sure. Yeah. So, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, wow. Yeah. I felt so bad.
I know. Yeah. I also think this in the finale, the conversation with his dad was also a bit telling. Mm. I think he left that conversation confused.
Mm-hmm.
Because his dad was giving used car salesman and it just works that magic on everybody and was trying to do it with his son. But now Clay, see, he has a different color lens now. So he was hearing his dad and kind of nodding along, whatever. But I think it really, that conversation fucked him in the head. Like, my dad is still here 25 years later, standing in front of me, still talking this bullshit.
Still
like,
yeah.
still lying. Who I can't walk into this marriage and I still have shit to work out with this dude. Like, I think he left totally like brain mush. There was no way he was going to say yes to AD after that. Yeah.
That is so real. And the fact that his dad used a solid amount of his screen time talking to his son, which apparently doesn't happen often, according to Clay, talking about his own accolades and his achievements, you know, son, I was all city or all American. You know, track is really my shit. And you remember when I beat you at track, and then that one time you beat me, and I was like, damn, that's crazy. And then, you know, I went to the Olympic trials, and you know, I was really that nigga is what I was taking. Like, I was like, you're so weird. Like, what is happening right now? This is such an odd conversation to be having.
So odd. On your son's wedding day, why are you talking about yourself at all?
Like, yourself, like 30 years ago.
Memories, like, what? So weird.
And then when Clay's parents talked and Clay's mom almost started crying, I was this is, he has damaged this family so badly.
So much.
I think we got through enough. We did what we needed to do. Do y'all actually think Love is Blind?
Oh, no. No, I think we proved this. One of our beautiful listeners is a speech pathologist and proved that Black people can hear if somebody's Black. Asian people can hear if somebody's Asian. Latino people can hear if somebody's Latino. Like, there's different, you're literally born with different nasal passages and voice, you know, instruments that you can tell somebody's race. And so just from that alone, no, Love definitely isn't blind. Nope.
Yeah. I think the couples that have made it off of the show are definitely outliers. I think generally physical attraction, whether we want to believe it or not, is very important for all of us to begin to fall in love or develop feelings or whatnot. So I think what we've seen on the show is some people maybe becoming more open to a look that they might not have. Like Amy, for instance, she said several times, I would never have approached Johnny at the bar.
That's so rude.
But I think regardless, she's still attracted to Johnny. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that where I really want to see the show go for seasons, you know, 9, 10, 11 further is really pushing on physicality. Because generally, everybody on the show is still conventionally beautiful. You know, so we're not really testing much. So I think that's my thing is they're definitely outliers and there's still some level of attraction has to be there. It's not completely blind.
Felt. Okay. Yeah. I agree with what y'all said. I want to say I feel like love is blind, but it's just not. It just isn't, unfortunately. I have experienced like falling in love with someone who I absolutely was not attracted to at first, and then that attraction growing with time. So I think in that, you know, in the more, in the not literal sense, in the figurative sense, love is blind, but in the literal sense, I still was looking at the man to know that I could withstand, you know, I could withstand it, you know. Yeah, so good answers. That's all I have for today. Natasha, Justine, please let the folks know where they can find you online and any projects you want to plug.
Sure. We are wrapping up our Love is Blind recaps. You can listen to us on all podcast platforms. We also have a Love is Blind after show. We've been inviting therapists on to discuss and dive deep into really what is going on this season. We have Dr. Nedra Glover-Taweb coming on. She is like the voice on the topic of boundaries. So she'll be helping us break down kind of the whole season. And then we also recap The Bachelor and a lot of other reality dating shows. But yeah, you can listen to us Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays on all podcast platforms. And you can join us on Patreon for video and bonus content.
Okay, sounds good. And for those of you who would like to check us out on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/@blackpeoplelovepairamore. The link will be in the show notes. If you have episode topic ideas, guest recommendations, hate mail, or anything else, you can email me at blackpeoplelovepairamore@gmail.com or at me across all social media platforms at BPLP Pod. You can support the show and other wonderful Max Fun shows at MaximumFun.org/join. Our editor is Jenrielle Legat and our producer is Palmira Muniz. I'm your host, Sequoia Holmes, and this has been a production of Maximum Fun.